Bloomberg Surveillance with Michael McKee and Tom Keane. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
We welcome Bill Gross from PIMCO. Mr. Gross, good morning.
Hey, Tom. Nice to be here.
Well, I think it's nice to be here. As again, 200,000 plus, I guess I'm enthused. Bill Gross on there being no wage growth.
Yeah, you're going to hear an echo here from me relative to Jim Glassman. Wage growth is the key to Fed policy going forward. I call it in a metaphor, wages, rages. They're not raging, and because of that, the Fed will be on hold for at least as long as the market expects. At American Wages on Wayne Main Street, Tom, are Janet Yellen's number one concern. And,
right.
And she's spoken about that a number of times. And yeah, we got a sort of a high print yesterday with the ECI. Today's number was flat. And, it looks like a 2% number. Here's what Janet Yellen wants. She wants 3% plus, because after subtracting 1% from productivity, you mm-hmm. get unit labor costs of 2, and that's exactly the target that the Fed is shooting for. So, this number, it is very bullish for bond markets, and I would think it stabilizes equity
right.
markets as well.
Let me ask you a profound question, Bill, and I say this because this is a Bill Gross jobs report we've gotten today. Lower yields, Gross making money early this morning off the Monroe Trader out at PIMCO. But, Bill, I, with all seriousness, can our politicians in Washington live with a new neutral economy?
Well, I think they're going to have to, and haven't they lived with a new normal economy for 5 years? Of course, they have, and that suggests 2% real growth, part because the labor force is slowing down in terms of its growth rate, and partly because productivity is not what it was. And so the American 2% is really close to the top of the list. The rest of the world, in terms of Euroland and Japan and now South America, are really close to the zero line or below. So the world is suffering from what we call a lack of aggregate demand, and that's sort of wonkish economists mm-hmm. speak, I suppose, but what it really means is that people and companies aren't willing to put their money across
right.
the table in order to buy things.
Bill, when you look at the job economy and your great caution and how it links into financial repression, again, we see the two-year yield back under 0.50% to four digits, 0.4980. Bill, I want you to reaffirm that with this jobs report this morning, we just see negative real interest rates as far as the eye can see.
Well, I think we do. We call it the new neutral. The new neutral means that at some point, Tom, in 2017, perhaps, and that's 3 years away and almost too far away to begin to care, although that influences the yield curve, so let mm-hmm. me take that back a little bit. We see the Fed moving up to 2%. Now, historically, they would have gone to something like 3.5% to 4%. That was the old normal. But a highly levered economy, an economy which you talked about with Jim Glassman in terms of technology replacing jobs, and demographics in terms of people getting older, the boomers getting older on a global basis, all of that suggests headwinds. It's really our old normal thesis playing out in terms of the marketplace, and that means that the Fed and other central banks, importantly, have to stay low yeah. for a long, long time, just like you pointed out.
Bill, we saw this week the CFA Institute scores, and I guess the average pass rate was, call it, 42-43%. I know that PIMCO doesn't hire anybody that did under a 90% on level 1, 2, or 3. You've got a lot of smart guys there. And the scuttlebutt, and I know you well enough to know I'm going to get an honest answer. There's the basic idea. Bill Gross has a theory, has a theme, has a belief for your major fund, and you're getting pushback inside to the Grossian Fed theory. Give us some color on this. How does this go about? Do the young upstarts, are they throwing chalk at you when you're up at the blackboard?
Well, I think we're all united on this new neutral, on the 2% new neutral, where we're having some disagreement, and it's not chalk, but it is verbal disagreement, and that's fine in terms of our new structure. In terms of the cyclical environment, we saw some evidence today in terms of the cyclical environment. Yes, good jobs, but yes, contained wages. And so it's in the wages category where, you know, I'd say half of the investment committee is a believer in accelerating wages, and the other half is a believer in what we saw today. So, you know, today Gross goes back to the 20th floor and holds his head up high. There have been days when my head has been very low.
Yeah, well, the 49ers didn't make the Super Bowl. But within this bill, in the battle, and I'm going to frame it, folks, for the major firms, I've got Deutsche Bank, Peter Hooper, Joe Lavorgna, Carl Riccadonna out with a 4% call on real GDP and some real effervescence. And against that, I got Ed Hyman at ISI and others, Sri Kumar and others, Ethan Harris at Bank of America Merrill Lynch, saying no, subdued GDP growth. Is that really the battle in any good mutual fund house now? Just like the economists wondering about the economic call?
Well, I think it is. You know, the rest of the world is an example, I suppose, in terms of whether or not one believes in China and the 7% miracle continuing, whether one believes in Japan in terms of Abe economics, whether or not one believes that Draghi can pull Euroland out of the soup, and whether or not one believes that the United States can go to three as opposed to two. So I think it is a battle. I also think too, Tom, that in the last few days, you know, there's been a rather ominous tone to all global asset markets, sort of resembling a liquidity moment, not like Lehman of 5 years ago, but a liquidity moment in which even, you know, German bunds in the face of lower EU inflation have gone down. And so I think asset markets are walking a tight line here.
Bill Gross, where are you observing liquidity challenges across global finance?
Well, there's a sense, Tom, in the last few days that, you know, almost all asset prices are going down. You know, usually a flight to quality or a safe haven such as a German Bund would appreciate during a moment like this. It's up perhaps an eighth in price since this particular report. Obviously, risk assets have gone down in the last few days, and liquidity from the standpoint of bid-ask spreads in the corporate market and other markets are hard to find. You know, they're very wide in terms of those spreads, and it just reminds me of a liquidity shrinkage, I guess. Again, not like Lehman, and I attribute it to Russia, and I attribute it to the potential for a global mini trade war, I suppose, and I attribute it to the Argentinian default and the fact that future investors are going to be leery of investing in emerging markets. There's a lot going on here in terms of assets that are pulling back.
If there are multiple moving parts from Newport Beach, California, is there a sense that this is a banking industry, a banking community that is more resilient now to shock than it was at Lehman?
Oh, I think so. You know, it's obvious. Anyone would admit that banks have significantly more capital, and that's, you know, your cushion against a shock. And of course, you know, regulations have forced them to pull in terms of their positions and their VARs, et cetera, et cetera. That's not so much the case with hedge funds and levered players. I think they're playing the same game, and they're exposed to you know, risk assets and leverage at the margin. And what we've seen in the past few days, I think, are simply, you know, levered players trying to reduce their risk and reduce their books. I think the banks are okay.
Bill Gross with us. He is in Newport Beach, California. Michael McKee is on the edge of America. He's so far north, it's like he has a Canadian accent this morning. We welcome Michael McKee in Maine with a special guest. Michael?
Yeah, good morning to you, Tom. From, you know, we are about as far away from PIMCO as you can get at this point. We're on opposite ends of the country. But yeah, Bill was talking about wages and how important they are. And so we thought we'd test and find out if he's actually putting his money where his mouth is. We've got one of his employees here. Paul McCulley is the chief economist for PIMCO, and he's up here at the fishing camp with us. And so, you know, we got to find out if Bill is actually paying you more, like he says America should be doing. Actually, Paul and I, Bill, have been looking at the numbers while you guys have been talking, and the interesting thing to me is that, with the exception of the wage number, most of the other aspects of this are not bad at all. And we maybe make the mistake of comparing this to the June number or something instead of where we were a year ago. I mean, we are now talking month after month of jobs over 200,000, an unemployment rate that is up only because more people are coming into the labor force. And after yesterday's reaction to the ECI in the markets, Paul, and now this turnaround here, it seems like people are trading basically on, you know, their own account rather than what they think the fundamentals of the economy are.
It's absolutely fascinating. I think in terms of the last week, the last several weeks, the bond market and Wall Street in general has been wrapped around the axle that not only was the job market improving, but somehow the average Joe might get a raise. So everyone's been battening down the hatches for the notion of an unkind monetary policy coming forward. And then you see the big relief rally this morning is, yes, he got a job, but he didn't get a raise. So therefore, this is good news. So this old story of what's good news for Wall Street versus good news for Main Street is actually a movie playing out in the marketplace this week. And Bill was incredibly good this morning. Good to see you, boss. So I guess good to hear your voice is a better way of putting it, is the notion that Janet Yellen wants to see the average guy on Wall Street, the average guy and woman on Wall Street, accept the proposition that it's okay for Main Street not to just get a job, but to also get an increase in wages. So it's fascinating to see Wall Street happen to accept the notion that we finally have a Fed chairman who believes firmly that the Fed's mission is to real America, and that Wall Street is a veil on real America, that Wall Street is not the real world.
We've got the two Fed officials who are the most hawkish out this morning with comments, Richard Fisher and Charlie Plosser, saying, both of them essentially saying the Fed has been pulled forward in raising interest rates by the data we've gotten lately. Is that what you think?
Well, I think Richard and Charlie will be forecasting the return of Amelia Earhart until she returns. They've had the landing lights out for about 5 years, and ultimately we will see the Fed tighten monetary policy from zero. So quite frankly, I think that Richard and Charlie are at the end of their tenure and essentially are getting the last word in, but Janet's the boss.
Do you want to say anything to your boss while you're here?
Besides saying good morning, Bill, it's very early there. It's actually three hours later here. We're actually Mike and I were talking. We're at the far ends, the kitty corners of the country, and I just want to say hold your head high, very well. For principal populism when you get back up to the 20th floor.
Well, we were also talking, and I'll ask Paul's question here, is when does Wall Street stop talking about profits being good and wages rising being bad?
Well, I think they'll always talk about that, and I think you know, to a certain extent, let's go to the profit side. You know, profits are improved and maintained when wages are kept low. Paul posed the dilemma between Wall Street and Main Street. Wall Street believes in the short run that it's better to keep wages down and to improve profit margins. I would say, and as Paul just suggested, in terms of the populist approach mm-hmm. that Janet Yellen is following, is that ultimately American capitalism depends upon wages going up and a vibrant consumer being willing to buy their products. So there needs to be a turnaround in terms of attitude here for the economy really to keep on going strong.
Yeah, we thank Michael McKee and Paul McCulley from Maine today on this day of jobs report. Futures negative 2, Dow futures negative 22. Bill, I think that so many people are 401k repressed or financially repressed. There's a great mystery to what you're doing, given some challenges the last number of years in the portfolio, to squeeze out every bit of coupon and every bit of total return. There's different tools. Let's start with volatility. Are you buying or selling the agitation of the market? Is that a way for Bill Gross to make money?
Well, I think it is, and I think historical texts and research would show that selling volatility is akin to selling insurance, Tom. Insurance companies over the long run you know, make profits because, you know, they sell to willing individuals and institutions that are want to sleep well at night as opposed to wake up every other hour. And so it's an insurance sale. It has to be done at the right price.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fair to say that volatility now is very low globally simply because central banks have been willing to keep a lid on volatility through quantitative
right.
easing and policy rates. But yes, volatility sales, and that can come through mortgages
sure.
Because they have a volatility component, and that can come through outright
right.
sales. But that adds to the bottom right. line or alpha.
Not that, I like that. He used a Greek letter, Rich Truman. It's August. Let Mr. Gross know we don't use Greek letters in August. Bill, for the yield hogs out there, and there are many, how bad are they going to get crushed when yields finally go higher?
I don't think badly, and that's the PIMCO's new neutral forecast. If the Fed stops at 2, and you know, it looks like that's more certain today than yesterday,
right.
Then you know, the 10-year at 2.55 and you know, other bond yields in the United States, you know, are appropriately priced. That doesn't mean we're going to get capital gains. I talked about yesterday in my investment outlook the dusk of capital gains, not just in bonds, but in stocks as well. We're going to depend on income. And is that income attractive at 2.55 for a 10-year? Not really, but it's better than nothing.
Let's leave it there.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.